What's going on, everybody? Hope everybody's doing great out there. I'm your boy TW Talking About on Twitter, and I'm here with Talking About Quickie. Before we get started, go ahead and make sure you like and subscribe to this, whatever you're listening on, whether it be SoundCloud or YouTube, or if somebody shared the Apple Podcast link, you go ahead and subscribe to it too, okay? So you can get these whenever I drop them. I ain't gonna lie, I don't drop them every week, but when I drop them, it's good stuff. Or as Vince would say, that's good shit. That's good shit. This is good shit. So let's get to some of this good bleep right here. I'm only going to give you these when I'm inspired to do something. That's part of the problem with having my podcast based around wrestling and having two young kids is, look, if wrestling's not interesting, I'm not going to go out of my way to craft a podcast for you and get it up out there. Sorry, I'm just not. Anybody out there with kids, you know what it is, you know? So, I mean, these things take time to do. And if I'm not getting enough interesting things to talk about from the product, other than complaining, then I'm just not going to do it. I personally listen to podcasts to supplement my interest in what I'm watching on TV. That's why I always hated all of the negativity that would be just oozing from the TNA / Impact Wrestling coverage that I would hear on each and every podcast. It's like, I get it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But I wouldn't even hear, hey, I don't like it, but here's what's going on. Let's pay attention to this next storyline. It was always, just the rehashing of the negative headlines. And I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear just the negativity. So if WWE is giving me just negativity to talk about, I don't really want to, nobody wants to hear somebody else complain, right? When I hear other people complaining, I always listen to that and go, God, do I sound like that, right? So I don't like to hear other people complain. So if wrestling's not giving me anything but something to complain about, I'm not going to put that all up in your airwaves, right? That's just not how I get down. So when I get something good to talk about, then I'm going to come and I'm going to talk about it with you. Get how this works? Get it? Got it? Good. Okay. So, your man Seth Rollins is taking no shorts. What he is taking is a page out of his boo-boo, Becky Lynch's playbook. Like I said, he's taking no shorts. He's taking no losses. He's even going above and beyond to go out of his way and start the spicy conversation sometimes. And you know what? I love it. I'm here for it all the way. See, a lot of times people will say, oh, you're just doing something that someone else did already and they made it popular, and so now you're copying the strategy. And to that, I say, so? So what? Who cares? If it's good when you do it, who cares? Let me ask you a question. What's the last new thing Apple invented? I don't know either, right? But they take it, they put a I branding on it, and everybody buys it up. Okay? Like, you don't have to be the first to do something. You just got to do it well. And right now, Seth Rollins is doing the Twitter beef thing well. This all started over the weekend when Seth put out a tweet saying, best pro wrestling on the planet, period. Excuse me. Now, this apparently was an inflammatory tweet because he got all the hate coming back his way. People tweeted gifts of other people laughing. People, responded with hate. Even Will Ospreay, internet darling, jumped back in Seth Rollins' mentions. I don't recall his exact reply, but he had something to say about that too. And again, and Seth just, he just let it be, right? He didn't, I'm sure part of the letting it be is he's a busy guy, right? If your job is to wake up, work out, tweet all day, and maybe wrestle a match and go sell some merch, then you have a lot of time during the middle of your day. But if your job is, wake up, find some time to get a workout in, media obligations, get to the show, memorize your script, you know, prepare your match, and then go wrestle a match, and then maybe find some time to tweet, then you might not be able to respond to tweets as readily available as some other people. So I'm just saying, if you see Seth Rollins tweet something and doesn't respond to it again till the next day, it's probably because he's busy, right? So in response to Seth Rollins' tweet, best wrestling in the world, period, people had a lot to say. There was just a lot of negative energy, a lot of doubting energy coming back his way. And that just led me to ask the question, and I pose this question to anyone listening: what makes good pro wrestling to you? Now, you got to break this down a little bit, right? So first, we're starting off with good, which is a subjective term to begin with. Then we come with pro wrestling, which pro wrestling itself is not a subjective term, but it's a term that's open for interpretation. So does what qualifies something as good pro wrestling to you? Acrobatics, right? Do you need to see a lot of flips and cartwheels? Do you need somebody to jump in the air and burst into flames and come back down in order to make something good pro wrestling? Is it more false finishes, right? Does it have to be 17 kickouts, 3 kickouts, 10 kickouts, right? Is that what makes a good pro wrestling match to you? Does it have to be a high quality production from the time you walk in the door to the time you leave, right? Because if that's the case, I don't think anybody in the world has ever had WWE beat on that one. Right, you walk in the door at WWE, you got the big video boards, you got lights and sound and smoke and lasers and anything you could possibly think of. Is it having characters that you're invested in? Is it having storyline that you're invested in? What do the words pro wrestling mean to you? See, I know that when I watch some of those New Japan matches, and I know a lot of people love New Japan. I'm not anti-New Japan, but I've watched some stuff, and I haven't felt like, yo, I have to see what's going to happen next. It just hasn't grabbed me in that way. It just hasn't. But I can say, you know, the matches that I've watched, there's something that stands out for sure in terms of a style that they work. They work such a high-paced, almost marathon pace of a match. It's incredible to watch. When I see these matches, I'm like, you know, these guys gotta have ridiculous stamina to finish these matches. And you see it at the end of the match. The guy is usually standing there in the ring with a microphone in his hand trying to say something, but he can't because he just wrestled 27 minutes nonstop of backflips and one-winged angels and false finishes and everything you could possibly think of. So there's a lot that goes into those matches. And I'm not saying that, you know, listen, that's not for everybody. Obviously, Dave Meltzer loves it. And he's obviously a lot of you guys' father in terms of the way you look at wrestling. Which another thing of that, you know, a trickle down of the Dave Meltzer effect that I just can't stand is this whole concept of rest holds, right? Like, in a real fight, if you are choking someone, that is an attempt to end a fight. Because if that person goes unconscious, then your fight is over, right? Or if you choke that person until they can't take it anymore, then your fight is over. In a real fight, if you're twisting someone's limb, their wrist, their arm, their leg, then that is an attempt to end a fight. Because if you twist it, if you put them in pain until they can't take it anymore, then they submit, then your fight is over. But because Dave Meltzer only loves Japanese wrestling, and it's not wrestling to him unless you're doing the, you know, marathon style, non-stop, you know, just constant going, then they have determined that a submission hold, an attempted submission, or an attempted choke is an opportunity for the wrestlers to catch their breath. And that's a bad thing. That's a rest hold. No, don't rest. I mean, listen, a lot of that stuff is ridiculous, but, you know, a lot of you guys subscribe to this doctrine, and that's what you get down with. But it's just, that's just not my cup of tea. But I digress. The whole point of what I'm asking here is, what makes good pro wrestling to you? See, for me, I've been watching wrestling my whole life. And so, yes, I can watch a match that I have no prior information about the characters, and I can, you know, just sample the product, right? Just see what's going on in this match. Do I enjoy it? Do I like it? Would I like to see some more? I'm perfectly capable of doing that. But as far as wanting to come back week after week on a consistent basis, I need to be invested in the characters. I need to be invested in the storyline. I need stakes to care about what is going on, why what happens to these characters matter, right? That's what makes good pro wrestling for me. Pro wrestling for me is not the match so much as the experience, right? What's happening to this character and why? You know, a lot of people may have been kind of done with this whole Kofi Mania thing right after he won the title at WrestleMania. But for me, the experience of his ride, his journey as champion, has been great. I've been loving this. Even the match he had with Dolph Ziggler at Stomping Grounds, I thought that was so well done. That was so well done. Watching it, I was a little annoyed because I can't get over this just so noticeable fact that Kofi is booked as a much weaker champion than, let's just say, a John Cena, right? If you look at the match from Stomping Grounds against Dolph Ziggler, Dolph Ziggler got so much offense. The story they were telling in that match is that Dolph almost got him, that Dolph was so close to winning, and that Kofi just squeaked it out by the edge of his teeth. And I'm sitting there watching that going, man, when have you ever seen John Cena in a match where this is the story they were telling? And the answer would be probably never. Certainly not in the last 10 years. And so little things like that have annoyed me about the way that Kofi and the New Day at large are booked. But you can't deny that the finish to that match was ridiculous. When Dolph was going to, well, I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't heard it yet, but the finish to that match was unique. I don't think I've ever seen a match in like that. That certainly highlighted Kofi's unique abilities. And listen, I thought it was good. It was a really good finish. It was a unique finish, something we haven't seen before. I don't recall ever seeing that before. And the journey continues, right? So that makes good pro wrestling to me. It wasn't so much about the moves and the holds that happened. It's about the story, right? They took me on a ride. What is gonna happen? With Bayley versus Alexa Bliss, again, you know, the to me, pro wrestling is the whole thing. It's the whole meal, right? It's the whole show. It's the whole experience. With Bayley versus Alexa Bliss, to me, a lot of people love Alexa Bliss, and I feel like people love Alexa Bliss because of the way she looks. I think Vince loves Alexa Bliss because of the way she looks. And so, to me, that annoys me, right? That you get someone like Bayley, who, you know, Bayley is a good wrestler, right? Alexa Bliss, she does have a good character, but to me, she just represents the fact that WWE likes to feature performers who look the most like a model. And that makes her, as a character, that makes her unlikable to me. You know what I mean? Like, she just represents something that I'm not a big fan of. Maybe because I don't look like a model, probably. But but yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing with the Bayley and Alexa Bliss thing. That's a piece of story that I am invested in, and that is part of my experience. That when I'm enjoying pro wrestling, that's all part of it, right? It's part of the story. It's part of the experience. So again, this brings us back to what makes good pro wrestling. And that's not to say I don't love an athletic match that has, you know, crazy looking move spots and all that other stuff. But again, you got to ask yourself, why does this matter? What's the significance of that triple handspring, tope, suicida, leg drop that I just saw, right? Like, why did that matter? And so to me, all of those things are important. So I went on this whole tangent just to say, you know, for Seth Rollins to say WWE has the best pro wrestling on the planet, I don't think you, listen, everyone's welcome to their opinion, but I don't think it's laughable to say WWE has the best pro wrestling, because what is pro wrestling to you, right? Like, I think that's a fair question, and you're more than welcome to tweet me your response, or, you know, or respond to me, let me know what makes good pro wrestling to you. I think that's a fair question to define, you know, what makes good pro wrestling to you. So Seth Rollins tweeted that. A lot of people didn't love it, but after the Stomping Grounds pay-per-view, which, if the tweets that I saw are any indication, people pretty much loved, Seth doubled down on his statement. And he didn't just double it down by you know, stating it. He quoted a tweet from Cage Side Seats that said something like, "Remember when Seth Rollins said WWE was the best pro wrestling on the planet?" And then Seth Rollins quote tweeted them saying, "Yeah, I'm doubling down on that now. Did you see that great pay-per-view? Everybody worked hard and it was a great show from top to bottom." And again, go back and check the tweets. He's not wrong. People loved that show last night. Which, as a fan of WWE, here goes another tangent. Get ready. As a fan of WWE, not just, I'm a fan of pro wrestling, but as someone who consistently watches WWE and pays them $10 a month for access to the network, I gotta tell you, man, like, the last 2 months of just horrible television that they have been putting out is so frustrating, because they can do better whenever they want to, right? That's what makes this so hard to watch, so difficult and annoying to stomach, is they can be better whenever they want to. I mean, you just snap your fingers and put on this great show from Stomping Grounds, and yet Monday Night Raw and SmackDown week after week after week is just time killing content, and that's the most infuriating thing. Because you know that you can do better, and you just choose to give your dedicated, loyal fans, because at this point, that's pretty much all that's left, you give your dedicated, loyal fans just filler week after week after week. And, you know, I don't know. I think WWE is on the verge of pushing a lot of people away. If you look at the attendance numbers for Stomping Grounds, I don't think that comment's too far off. But back to Seth Rollins and back to these tweets. So Seth, you know, he came back at Cage Side Seats, said he was doubling down on his statement that WWE was the best pro wrestling. And then I believe he said, you know, "Find me anybody who does what I do as well as I do, as often as I do it." And Will Ospreay said, "I'm alive." And Seth replied to his tweet and said, "We already have the better version of you in Ricochet." So Seth is out here throwing darts. Maybe Becky is crafting these tweets for him, I don't know. But Seth is out here throwing heat, and guess what? It's making him hot. It's making him hot. So the internet fans, the ones who will boo a match, they're keeping Seth Rollins on their mind because they're remembering that fire tweet that he put out. And then they're going to need him to go out and back it up on Monday Night Raw every week, and he's more than capable of doing that. So bravo to Seth Rollins. Do your thing, man. Do your thing. Keep using Twitter to make yourself hot. Is this the same strategy Becky Lynch used to work her way to the main event of WrestleMania? Yes. Did it work? Yes. Was it good? Yes. Did I enjoy it? Yes. Do I want more of it? Yes. 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 But seriously, man, I mean, like, you know, this is, you know, from a strategy standpoint, you're really just supplementing what we get on TV with where we look online for our entertainment as well. And that's just a really, really smart strategy. I mean, it's just, there's no way around it. So shout out to Seth, man. That was what I would call just a really smart move. And yeah, man, I'm enjoying it. Shout out to Seth. That's a I would say smart strategy. What do you guys think, right? Do you guys think Seth is doing the right thing, or are you guys tired of it? Do you guys feel like he's just copying off Becky Lynch and you want to see him cut that out? Let me know. So another topic that's been huge this week has been the title run of Kofi Kingston. And I think there's a few different perspectives here. So I want to drill down on where I'm coming from with this. Now, my man, shout out my man Brian H. Waters, Wrestling Realm Podcast, the Wrestling Realm Empire. Okay, let me get that right. The Wrestling Realm Empire, which includes such great products as Wrestling for the Culture and what's the weekly show? Break It Down with Brian H. Yes. So anyway, shout out to the homie Brian H. And all his great stuff. But he brought up a great point. He saw me kind of complaining on Twitter about not being happy with the way Kofi Kingston's being booked. Now, let me just backtrack here a little bit. I am happy that Kofi is getting a title run, okay? If you take me back to pre-Mania, take me back to the Elimination Chamber when I almost canceled my WWE Network subscription because Kofi lost. I don't care. That's how I was feeling. I am happy that he's getting a run. And you know, this is great because at the time, you know, if you asked me, I said, yeah, man, look, I don't care if you let him keep it for a week, right? Just let him get the title. Let him get the win. You know, it'll be a moment in time that we will never forget. And I still feel that way. But now that he has the title, I want more. I want him to have a great title run. First of all, I want whoever is the champion to look strong and be great no matter what. And my beef with the way that Kofi has been presented as champion is that they have not gone out of their way to make him look especially strong. If you look at his matches, you know, with Dolph Ziggler, it seems like the story they've been telling is that Dolph pretty much has Kofi's number, that he's better than him, and Kofi just kind of squeaks by, you know, by the skin of his teeth. You know, in the first match, they had Woods help out. In the second match, which, by the way, is a finish that we've never seen from a cage match. I think that totally highlights the unique abilities that Kofi Kingston brings to the table. But we saw a finish in the cage match at Stomping Grounds that we've never seen before. But up to that point, the story of the match was that Dolph was winning. And I just don't love that. I don't love that because I feel like he's not being portrayed as a strong WWE champion. His matches that he has, you know, on SmackDown and Raw, whatever, you know, I'm not saying I don't want to see good competitive matches, but I do know this. During Cena's reign of terror, he beat everybody clean in the middle. Remember the story about Kevin Nash and Triple H and Shawn Michaels and the man now known as PCO, in Shawn Michaels' book, he refers to him as the Pirate, right? And there was this whole big stink because the Pirate wanted to have a competitive match in Montreal because that was his hometown. And, you know, Shawn and Triple H and Kevin Nash, they were like, yeah, nah, I don't know, man. You know, Shawn's the champion. You know, he needs to just do the job for you. Clean, 1, 2, 3. And that's the attitude that so many people have had. And that's the way, again, if you look back at the way that Roman has matches. It can be competitive, but you know how it's going to end. Superman punch, spear, 1, 2, 3. John Cena had competitive matches, fun back and forth. But at the end, it's going to be attitude adjustment or what's the other thing, the cross face lock or whatever, and tap out clean in the middle. And that's what I want from Kofi, because that's how you build somebody and present them as a strong champion. And that leads me to my next point, which is There's so many other people, and this is partially, I would say, due to the commentary and the way that, or I would say this attitude is being supported by, you know, by some of the things that are being said on commentary and the way that Kofi is being presented, not just in the matches that are beyond competitive, borderline, looks like Kofi should be losing, right? Beyond that, but it's these little comments about, oh, Kofi's on a magical ride and his magical ride continues, right? And, oh, how much longer can this last? Kofi keeps it going. It's like he's just keeping it dangling over everybody's head that, hey, this is temporary. This is not your guy. This is not your champion. This guy is an anomaly, and the clock is going to strike midnight for Cinderella eventually. There's that constant theme running throughout Kofi Kingston's title run, and I'm seeing that resonating in a lot of the tweets that are coming from a lot of people online. One person in particular who caught my attention was this guy. What's this guy's name? Oh, my God. Don Draper from the Wrestling Soup podcast. Now, I let this guy hit me with a little slick comment the other day because I trolled him. I was at work, and I really didn't have time to dive into it. But, oh, man, what was it? What was it? Oh, he was commenting on Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. He said something about Peyton Royce has been wrestling for 10 years. How could she possibly be that mediocre? And I replied to him and said, you know, how long you been podcasting? And then he replied to me and said something like, 3 years, get off my D. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You know what? I'm not gonna get into this right now. I'm at work. I got work to do. I got, you know. But you know what? I'm driving to work now. I got time today, cuz. I got time. So, first of all, son, the only reason I even know you exist is because the Solid Monster mentioned you on his podcast. And I heard you as a guest a couple times on his podcast. And every time I've heard you on his podcast, all it does is clearly illustrate how much better he is than you. Your stuff is weak. Your stuff is amateur. Your stuff is borderline MAGA, and it's pretty disgusting to anybody with a brain. So on your D, never. That follow is basically charity, and it can change at any time. And you keep tweeting out dumb stuff that, you know, is borderline offensive. I don't need to follow you. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Please. Child, please. But anyway, this genius tweeted out that Kofi is the new gender. And I said, yo, hold up. I'm not letting this one slide. Again, I got time today, cuz. So, here's my problem with this, okay? You cannot compare Kofi to gender. You cannot. Gender was never presented even mildly seriously. There was no point in which gender was ever seen as anything more than an enhancement talent. And then all of a sudden, he goes away, comes back. Every visual indication we can find is that this guy is on the juice, and now all of a sudden he's getting a WWE title run. All right, that just screamed, what the hell is going on here, to everybody watching. So you cannot compare that to Kofi. Kofi, if anything, looks less muscular now than he did when he first came in. Kofi's been a vet. He's been in for 11 years putting in work, putting in some of the greatest spots in Money in the Bank ladder matches, in Royal Rumble. They crafted a specific spot for him every year because he could do that, because he's a unique talent that could do things that other people cannot do. Respect that man. Respect the work he's put in. Multiple time tag team champion, multiple time intercontinental champion, US champion, everything but the Holy Grail, which is the WWE Championship. Kofi's resume speaks for itself. You can't tell me that man does not have the credentials to be the WWE Champion. Now, if we really, really, really want to keep it real, your equivocation of gender to Kofi is because they're both brown people. As soon as gender won the title, everybody automatically was like, oh, WWE is going to India soon, and they just want to, you know, have a WWE champion when they go to India, although Jinder ended up not even being the champion by the time they went to India. But that was the excuse people were making, right? Trying to, you know, downplay his title run. And with Kofi, people are over the novelty of him being the first black champion in a very long time. The first WWE champion who looks like a black man, you know, undeniably, absolutely, quickly identifiable, readily identifiable as a black man. Kofi is the first of that, for sure. And a lot of you are over the novelty of that. And you're like, all right, we did that. You know, we gave the black people something to cheer for. Now let's move on to a real champion. Let's get back to the same old thing. Let's see another AJ Styles title run. Let's see another Daniel Bryan title run. Let's get the title on, what are they saying? Oh, Roman Reigns, or Shane McMahon to Roman Reigns, right? Let's get back to normalcy. And I'm like, hold up, man. Hold up. Like, just take a step back and look at what Kofi has done. I've already listed off, you know, many of his accomplishments, many times when he would go into a big match, steal the show, and never win. But let's look at since he's been champion. Look at his title defenses. His title defenses have all been good matches. Matter of fact, look at the run-up to him winning the title. By the time we got to the whole Kofi Elimination Chamber saga, Becky Lynch was already starting to jump the shark. It's not her fault, but the timeline of these things had just not run its course, but it was kind of getting to get a certain amount of sameness to it. So by the time we looked up and realized that the Kofi title chase was a thing, this was the best thing going on WWE TV. At a time when ratings were tanking, the weeks in which Kofi was featured chasing the WWE title were some of the best on SmackDown during that period. You can go look it up and tell me if I'm lying. If I'm lying, I'm flying. And I'm not. I'm driving. So Kofi has you know, I don't like using the term a draw, right? Like, people like to use terms that they really know nothing about. It's just terms they've heard wrestling insiders use, and people like to, you know, put them out there talking about who's over and who's a draw. Like, you know, it's just wrestling insider terms that the average person of us really have no idea what they mean. And to be honest, they're probably subjective, right? Based on who's judging them. And really only matters one person how they judge them, and that's Vince McMahon. That's the reality of that. But I'm not gonna say Kofi is or isn't a draw, right? I honestly believe that the way WWE is presented now, I don't really think it's fair to judge whether or not someone is a draw in the way you would judge that during, let's say, the Stone Cold era, right? When business was booming. And you could say, hey, if this guy's our champion, a lot of people are going to come out to see him. It's just not like that anymore. People aren't presented in that way. Nobody, really. You could argue Roman Reigns was, but shy of him, nobody has really been presented in that singular, special light to say that this person is the reason we're drawing fans or drawing ratings. Nobody is. Like, you can't tell me that anyone is. So, back to Kofi. This whole thing is a moment in time that we are going to look back and, you know, are people going to say he was a weak champion? I would like to see Kofi get a big win over a big opponent. A big opponent. I'd like to see him get a big win over a Brock Lesnar or a Roman Reigns, right? I'd like to see him get a big win over someone like that. I think that would be a huge boost to the credibility of this title reign. But I also, you know, I want to be careful about that whole credibility thing, because there's people saying he hasn't beat anybody yet. And as I mentioned before, his first opponent was Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, a former Universal Champion for a long time and an internet darling, right? All the internet fans love Kevin Owens. He was in ROH. I pretty much think everybody who the internet loves had to come through ROH at some point. But how can you possibly say Kofi's title run lacks credibility when he beat Kevin Owens, right? How can you say that? But I would like to see Kofi in a real situation where you really stack the odds against him and he still comes out on top. Like what they did with Seth Rollins at Stomping Grounds. Like really stack the odds and have Kofi come out on top. And have him face an opponent that looks like they're going to beat him, right? Like a Brock Lesnar. Or, you know, build up someone else. Start feeding people to Kofi, right? Build up Lars Sullivan and feed him to Kofi. The same way you would do with John Cena. For years and years and years and years, people would come in, get built up, and they knew it was ultimately just to be fed to John Cena. Once you start treating Kofi like that, then I'll feel like, okay, you're treating his title run on equal footing. Will people look back and say this was a weak title run? I don't know. People will say what they want. I'll say I'm enjoying it, but I will also say that as a viewer of television, I want to watch compelling stories. So create compelling stories for me. Again, look at Stomping Grounds. Look at what they did with Seth Rollins, how they went over, above, and beyond to create something interesting out of Seth and Baron Corbin and a mystery ref stipulation. That was excellent TV, man. That was great. So give me stuff like that with Kofi. Give us memorable stories, memorable matches, memorable events that are taking place surrounding him as WWE Champion, and I'll be happy with that. You know, I don't have like a strict criteria. He needs to hold it for X amount of months. Like, nah, I don't need that specifically. I just want to look back and have memories of, man, you know, Kofi did a great job as champion. And if you're being honest, if you're looking at the matches that Kofi has had, he has done a great job as champion. If you look at the promos he had to cut on TV, Kofi is a true babyface. He cuts true babyface promos. And similar to John Cena, when Kofi starts talking, the crowd may be like, eh. But by the time he's finished, he gets the crowd in a frenzy. Like, let's not completely take away from the things that Kofi has been able to do, because Kofi is a vet. Kofi has been there for over a decade, and he does know how to play the game. No pun intended, right? Like, Kofi knows what he's doing. So let's start giving this man some credit. Let's enjoy the title run for what it is, but please stop the hate. Stop trying to equivocate him to gender, because you sound like a total clown trying to, you know, again, like, it's not even close. It's not even the same ballpark. The resumes don't compare. The in-ring talent doesn't compare. The talent on the mic doesn't compare. Kofi is in a whole nother league from Jinder Mahal. And the only thing y'all see is similar is the fact that they're both not white people.
Keep it simple. Yeah, money going up, I just keep it simple.